Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Did you know headlights dim over time? You can lose up to 50 feet of visibility before burnout. Stop in to replace yours at Advance Auto Parts, your dependable source for auto lighting today. Snag a new pair of Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Bulbs and brighten up those darker fall and winter nights. Switch today, see better tonight. And don't forget to replace your wiper blades and change your oil to ensure you're prepared to hit the road. Only at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
This is how we advance.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have an interview with Evan Winter. Evan is the managing editor of A to Z Sports. On the program, we discuss the Buccaneers' win over the Los Angeles Rams, plus Buccaneers' offense and defense. We also discuss head coach Todd Bowles, quarterback Tom Brady. Also, we'll discuss the Buccaneers' upcoming game against the Seattle Seahawks, the first regular season game taking place in Germany, in Munich, Germany, that is, and so much more. Plus, we have a preview of Week 10 and Week 10's most important games in the National Football League. So sit back, relax, and the interview is going to be great with Evan. He always brings his knowledge about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's coming up on this edition of the program. And as always, we got to start you off with the scores from the most important games from Week 9 in the National Football League. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Houston Texans. The Eagles remain the only undefeated team in the NFL. Philly beats Houston 29-17. The Miami Dolphins continue their winning ways. They beat the Chicago Bears in a close game in Soldier Field in Chicago. Final score 35-32. The Buffalo Bills took on the New York Jets at the Meadowlands at East Rutherford, New Jersey at MetLife Stadium. Jets hold tight to beat the Bills 20-17. The Minnesota Vikings took on the Washington Commanders. Close game, Vikings would win by 3, 20-17. The Seattle Seahawks took on the Arizona Cardinals in an intense NFC West rivalry game. The Seahawks hold on strong. Seattle beats Arizona 31-21. The Los Angeles Rams squared off against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady throws the game-winning touchdown pass to tight end Cade Otton. Tampa Bay beats the L.A. Rams 16-13. What a finish it was in Sunday Night Football in overtime between the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs would go on to beat the Titans in overtime, final score 20-17. And Monday Night Football was down in the Crescent City in New Orleans between the Baltimore Ravens and the New Orleans Saints. Lamar Jackson handled his business as dual-threat quarterback, running and throwing the ball. And, of course, thanks to defense from the likes of Justin Houston, Baltimore would go on to beat New Orleans. Final score, 27-13. And those are your scores from the most important games from Week 9 in the National Football League. All right, it's now time for my top three storylines. I want to start off with the Green Bay Packers. This has been the season from hell for the Green Bay Packers. The Packers, as this show is airing, has lost 5 in a row. Yes, they've lost 5 games in a row. They lost to the Giants in London. They lost the home game to the New York Giants. They did lose a tough one in the DMV in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area at FedEx Field to the Washington Commanders. Then they lose on Sunday Night Football at Buffalo. And then their recent loss was to the Detroit Lions. So as this show is airing, the Packers are on a 5-game losing streak. I don't know what's going on. Aaron Rodgers, he just seems out of it right now. The injuries have piled up for the Packers. Rashawn Gary suffered an ACL injury where the Packers fear that Gary has torn his ACL. There's a good chance that he could be out for the remainder of the year, and that hurts because he's been one of the few bright spots for the Packers so far this year. Offensively, Green Bay has just been anemic, with the exception of the running combination of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Something has got to give in Green Bay. Something's got to give for the reigning back-to-back league MVP, Aaron Rodgers. They have a big game coming up this week at Lambeau Field against the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get more into that game a little bit later, but the bottom line is this. Currently, Green Bay is in the middle of a five-game losing streak. The expectations were very high. They have not answered the call at all so far this year. Can they turn it around? There's a slight chance. Remember, currently Minnesota sits at 6-1. Minnesota currently sits, I believe, currently at 7-1 at the moment, I believe, what their record is. But Minnesota is currently in first place in the NFC North at 7-1. And they have a firm grip on the division right now. Detroit is below 500. Chicago's below 500. And then you have the Packers that are currently 3-6. They're below 500. So I don't know. The remaining schedule for the Packers this year, let's see, after Dallas, there's Tennessee, which is a tough game. They're going to go to Philadelphia. That's a Sunday night game. That's going to be a tough one. They're at Chicago. You know, Aaron loves going up against the Bears. They have their bye week. And then after that, it's going to be the Monday night game against the Rams at Lambeau. That's going to be a tough one. And then on Christmas Day, they're at Miami, which the Dolphins have surprised a lot of people this year. And then you have New Year's Day against the Minnesota Vikings at Lambeau Field. And then you end the year at Lambeau against the Detroit Lions. So this schedule, the rest of the way, is looking very tough for Green Bay. The bleeding, I believe, I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. Trade deadline to try to get a wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. So it just seems as though the Packers are still trying to find their way. It just seems like he's not getting enough help. And then not to mention on the offensive line side, they've played musical chairs at the offensive line position. David Bakhtiari has been hurt. He's still not healthy. And then injuries to the likes of Elgton Jenkins. And they've just had to do, they've just switched around a lot of the offensive linemen. As I mentioned earlier, it's been musical chairs. So everybody's not right at the key positions. And there's a lot of soul searching that's going on right now. It's going to be a whole lot of soul searching when the season is over with. Now, the question is, will the Packers season end in January? Will it be early January or will it be mid-January? Because the season starts this coming Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys, and it's just been a train wreck starting really in the preseason. Well, really before that, at the NFL draft that happened this past April. So in order for the train to get back on tracks, Green Bay, they've got to get it going. And it begins and ends with number 12 and at the other key positions. My next storyline is going to be the New Orleans Saints. You talk about it from grace. I mentioned about another NFC team, Green Bay. The expectations were very high for them coming into this season. The expectations were even higher for the New Orleans Saints. The Saints losing Monday night to the Baltimore Ravens. They currently sit at a 3-6 record. Now, it's a tough task for Green Bay to catch Minnesota in the NFC North. If there's any silver lining to this, the Saints play in the NFC South, which has been bad this year. Tampa Bay, first place in the division, but they're below 500. Atlanta has been below 500. Carolina, they're just, I guess you can say, they're just going to, 9 times out of 10, lose the majority of their games going down the stretch so they can get a top 10 pick. But the Saints sit at 3-6. Is there hope? There is hope, but it's very, very slim. The remaining schedule for the Saints is they're at Pittsburgh, and then after that they return home for a tough game against the Rams. Then they go out on the West Coast to take on the 49ers, which is a tough game. And then after that, they have the Monday night matchup, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in Tampa. After the bye week, there's the home game against Atlanta, and then you go to Cleveland to take on the Browns. And then on New Year's Day, you're at Philadelphia to take on Jalen Hurts and the Red Hot Eagles, and then you end the year in New Orleans at the Caesars Superdome against the Carolina Panthers. Bottom line is this, the expectations were very high. During the offseason, they acquired Tyrann Mathieu. They acquired Jarvis Landry. This was supposed to be the comeback year for Michael Thomas. It didn't happen because New Orleans Saints head coach Dennis Allen made it official that Thomas is done for the year with a toe injury. And that sucks because this was supposed to be his comeback year. Well, unfortunately, he's played only 2 games in 2 years. Uncalled for. Not good at all. And then with the abrupt retirement of Sean Payton last season, Dennis Allen was supposed to come in and take this talent to the next level. He's been far from a leader. He's just let them just have their way like Burger King. Just let them do what they want to do and not even care. Not enough fire, not enough leadership from him. And then the injuries have just mounted, as I mentioned earlier, with Michael Thomas. Landry hasn't been healthy. Marshawn Lattimore has not been healthy. You also have Pete Werner has been hurt. Marcus Davenport's battled his injuries as well. Also, you've had Cesar Ruiz has been hurt. Erik McCoy has been hurt throughout periods of this season. And it just hasn't gone well for the New Orleans Saints. And then to drop the nail on the coffin, the quarterback situation, and I'll have a confession to make. I was really rooting for Jameis Winston to be the starting quarterback this season, and I was hoping that despite the injuries, he would come back and be the starting quarterback for the Saints. Well, that wasn't the case because, again, Saints head coach Dennis Allen said that, hey, we're going forward with Andy Dalton for the remainder of the year. If you watch that Monday night game against Baltimore, Andy Dalton was had. There was a moment when he got sacked by Justin Houston. Andy got up very slowly. And I want to know if Andy Dalton had suffered an injury and Jameis would have had a chance to get in there and make things happen. Maybe, I don't know if New Orleans would have won that game, but the game would have been a little bit more competitive. But the bottom line is this, I don't see where Coach Allen would make Andy Dalton the starting quarterback going forward, where Jameis not only physically invested into the franchise, but he's emotionally invested into the city, and he's healthy. According to head coach Dennis Allen, Jameis Winston is healthy, but he said even though Winston is healthy, he's going forward with Andy Dalton as the starting quarterback, and a lot of people are just so up in arms about this situation with the Dalton and Winston situation. Bottom line is this. I think Jameis Winston should have a crack at being the starting quarterback. He came back, re-signed a 2-year deal with the Saints. Remember, New Orleans was in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. That didn't work out when he signed the fully guaranteed deal with to go to Cleveland. And Jameis also almost didn't go to the Saints. Jameis had a deal on the table with the Indianapolis Colts. The Deshaun Watson deal didn't work out to New Orleans, signed a 2-year extension, and then the Colts wound up going with Matt Ryan and getting a trade for him, which I'll get into the Colts in a little bit. But tough times down in the Crescent City right now. The gumbo is just tasting a little bit differently with this losing streak, this below 500 record, and then now with the problems with the injuries and the quarterback situation. And for my last storyline, is going to be the Indianapolis Colts. You talk about a dumpster fire so far of the season. I mentioned earlier about the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. The New Orleans Saints were heavy into the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. The Saints didn't get him. Jameis Winston almost signed with the Indianapolis Colts. He was offered a deal. Winston decides to come back to New Orleans, signs a 2-year deal, and then Matt Ryan was acquired in a trade right before the preseason. So the hopes were very high for the Indianapolis Colts. My hopes were high for the Indianapolis Colts. Again, Matt Ryan, a seasoned veteran, a former league MVP coming into the mix. You've also got Jonathan Taylor, the league's leading rusher last year. And, of course, a solid defense, one of the best defenses in the league, coming into a new beginning for 2022 for the Colts. Well, let's just say it's been all steak and no sizzle for Indianapolis so far. As this show is airing, they currently sit at a 3-5-1 record, 3 wins, 5 losses, and 1 tie. Here's where the drama starts. Quarterback Matt Ryan is benched in favor of Sam Ehlinger. That's right, Sam Ehlinger. Sam Ehlinger, rookie quarterback out of the University of Texas. Ehlinger comes in. And let's just say, again, he was all bark, but no bite in his first start. So Ehlinger, after that abysmal performance that he had in his first NFL start, immediately the offensive coordinator is fired from the other team. Marcus Brady relieved of his duties. And Frank, not only is he the head coach, but he takes over the offensive coordinator duties. But that would only last for one game. So after the Colts had another loss, immediately Jim Irsay drops a bombshell. He fires Frank Reich as head coach of the Colts. And guess what, people? In the nepotism of all nepotism, he hires interim head coach Jeff Saturday. Now, Jeff Saturday, if you are an NFL fan and if you are a Colts fan, you know that Jeff Saturday was one of the premier offensive linemen, one of the premier players, one of the premier leaders in the National Football League, was a teammate of Peyton Manning during his time with Indianapolis, won a Super Bowl alongside Peyton Manning, and on top of that, he played one season with the Green Bay Packers, was a teammate of Aaron Rodgers. Jeff Saturday, great guy, great player, great analyst for a very popular sports net, has never coached at a college level. He's never coached on an NFL level. He coached 3 years at a high school in the Atlanta area. That is his only college experience, his only coaching experience. During his time as a high school head coach, his career record was 20-16, making the playoffs every year, including one state quarterfinals appearance. Now, Irsay defended the move and said that, you know, the great beauty of this is that he doesn't have any NFL head coaching experience, which is good because maybe it will take away some of the the fright or take away some of the nerves that is at display. Well, I don't know. The NFL is just a whole nother ball game. Professional sports is just a whole nother ball game within itself. Owner Jim Irsay continued and he defended the move, saying that Saturday could potentially remain head coach beyond the 2022 NFL season. So a lot of people in the NFL are not happy about this move, and rightfully so. Again, you have Reggie Wayne, who is currently the wide receivers coach for the Colts, and then you have Cato June, who's an assistant linebackers coach. And I just can't believe, I mean, yeah, Jeff Saturday is one of the most respected people in the NFL, but it's hard to believe some of those guys were stepped over by Colts management to bring Saturday in. But as they say, the proof is in the pudding, and winning is a cure-all for everything, especially in professional sports. And then also the Colts made a move that they named Parks Frazier as the interim offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts. Frazier's been with the organization since 2018. He started off as an assistant to the head coach, and then he served in offensive quality control for one season. And then also for one season, he was the assistant quarterback's coach, and now he's the interim offensive coordinator. So you've got Frazier as the interim offensive coordinator, and then you have the interim head coach at Jeff Saturday. Still a lot of work to be done. The offensive line has been banged up all year. They just haven't protected Matt Ryan. And, I mean, Sam Ehlinger is no better. Jonathan Taylor still can't get healthy. And I guess if there's any silver lining to this is that if they don't do well, hey, they have a top five pick in the 2023 NFL draft. But we shall see, because there's still a lot of football left to be played. And a lot of people not happy about the Jeff Saturday move. But as they say, only time will tell, and winning is a cure-all for everything. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Evan Winter. Evan is the managing editor for A to Z Sports. We discuss the Buccaneers' win over the Los Angeles Rams, plus Buccaneers' offense and defense. We talk head coach Todd Bowles, also quarterback Tom Brady, and much more, including the Buccaneers game against the Seattle Seahawks in Munich, Germany. Evan is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
Everyone deserves to be connected. That's why Cox offers a range of high-speed internet plans that fit any budget. Stream, chat, and stay connected at an incredible price. It's fast, reliable internet for everyone. You're probably thinking, wait, what? But yeah, it's true. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply. Usually you can pick a lot, a little, or somewhere in the middle. That's why Cox now offers flexible internet plans, giving you all the services you desire and nothing you don't require. Additional services can be added at then current regular rates.
He's not going to start
now. You're not running the ball right here.
You're not here. Although you got Fournette right next to Brady's right hip.
You've got three plays. If you throw them quickly, don't want to try and scramble around or anything. Just throw it away if it's not there right away.
Here's the snap to Brady. Fakes to Fournette. He throws. It's caught. It's in for the touchdown. Incredible. Tampa Bay takes it 60 yards.
And the fourth quarter woes continue for the Rams. It's going to be a 10-0 fourth quarter after the extra point. And Kendrick getting picked on that drive. And no, even Ramsey switched over and got picked on twice. But what a play call.
Cade Otton, the first touchdown by a tight end this year at Tampa Bay.
You're exactly right. You missed that Gronk guy. But how different did that offense look on that drive all of a sudden? Man.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio is courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on the call of Week 9 action as Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady threw the game-winning touchdown pass to tight end Cade Otton to beat the Los Angeles Rams in Week 9 of the 2022 NFL season. And the Bucs have had a lot of challenges so far this year. Hopefully, they're looking to turn things around between now and the end of the regular season. To talk more about the Bucs win over the Rams and also looking to preview the NFL's first international game in Germany, Munich, Germany, that is. We want to welcome him back to the program. He is a managing editor for A to Z Sports, Evan Winter. Hey, Evan, welcome back, my man.
Ed, what's going on, man? Good to talk to you again.
Same here, my man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's get right to it, Evan. What were your takeaways from the Bucs' victory over the Los Angeles Rams?
Honestly, you know, I've watched a lot of football in my life. I don't think I've seen that quick of a turnaround in terms of momentum. You know, and obviously there's been some arguments and debates over the last few years about does momentum really exist in football or not. You know, and if you look at the Buccaneers game, that's kind of a case study for why it doesn't exist. You know, get the ball back with 44 seconds. Granted, the defense comes up with a huge stop just to put you back in that position, but 44 seconds starting around your own 40, no timeouts. You know, I mean, just the march down the field, and I believe it was six plays or maybe seven, 54 yards, and score the game-winning touchdown after struggling throughout the entire game. I mean, it's just how the switch flipped like that, excuse me, was quite something to see. But at the end of the day, what the Buccaneers did on the offensive side of the ball yesterday is still not sustainable. Just case in point, they had more third down attempts than they had first downs. They had 21 third down attempts compared to 18 first downs throughout the game. It's you can't keep doing that and expecting to win. Fortunately, they played a Rams offense that, you know, was a shell of itself from last year. It's going through a bunch of injury issues itself. But it's going to be a whole different test against a very, very well-rounded Seahawks offense this weekend. So, you know, to summarize it all, biggest takeaway was, you know, good for the Bucs. They needed that win. It could possibly be a win that, you know, turns their season around. But they've still got a lot of work to do on the offensive side of the ball.
You're absolutely right about that, Evan. They do have a lot of work to do. However, as Jim Nantz had mentioned in the call, Cade Otton, he plays tight end for the Bucs. This was the touchdown by a Bucs tight end this year. Just give me your thoughts on Cade and his performance, including scoring the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable, that stat, you know, especially after the guy who's played tight end for the Buccaneers the last 2 years and Rob Gronkowski knowing what he's capable of. But it's clear Cade Otton is the tight end moving forward. He needs to take over the starting role from Cameron Brait. Granted, Brait's a, you know, a pretty decent tight end, you know, veteran, has a good rapport with Brady. However, it's obvious that Otton is just a better player at this point. He's more athletic. He's more dynamic. He's just as good of a blocker, if not a better blocker than Cam Brait. And he's staying healthy right now. You know, Cam Brait, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years, might even go back to 5 years, has had a lot of injury issues. You know, nothing major, but, you know, just some dings here that have caused him to miss, you know, three, four, or five games a season. But yeah, they've got to get Cade Otton more involved in the offense. He could be the guy that could, as we saw on that game-winning drive, can stretch the seams, can give you a downfield target out of that wide position. And, you know, if the Bucs don't give him more snaps moving forward, or sorry, if they don't keep giving him this amount of snaps moving forward, may, you know, start to throw Brate back into the mix more as a target. Yeah, I really don't know what they're trying to do at the end of the day. So, yeah, it's got to be Cade Otton's show moving forward.
You know, Scotty Miller has been the whipping boy for the Bucs offense so far this year. Chris Godwin and Julio Jones have been hampered by injuries this year. Mike Evans, when he's good, he's good. But when he hasn't been good, he has not been good. And, of course, we know about the one-game suspension that happened with, in the game against New Orleans. But Scotty showed up in this game. He had 7 catches for 53 yards. Give me your thoughts on Scotty and his play against the Rams.
Yeah, you know, he came up good on that last drive. He came up with some big catches, you know, and he was showed a lot of awareness by getting out of bounds, so on and so forth. But, you know, the one cloud that hangs over Scotty's head coming out of yesterday was that drop touchdown in the end zone. It was mistimed his jump. You could even argue he didn't even need to jump to try to catch that pass, as it just, you know, hit him in the breastplate and bounced into the turf. He's you know, the knock on him his entire career has been he doesn't make what Bruce Arians calls the grindy catches, you know, your combat catches, your catches in traffic. He's just a speed guy, a clear out guy, you know, who's going to open up the field for some underneath routes, so on and so forth. And, you know, the Bucs, considering where they're at in terms of their receiver health and how Tom Brady likes to spread the ball around, as long as they're smart targeting Miller, I'm okay with it. But at the end of the day, I still don't really see himself carving out, you know, a big role in this offense. I think he'll come up with some catches here and there. But overall, you know, I think we're going to see pretty much the same usage and the same statistical performance and on-field just tape performance that we've seen from Scotty over these last few weeks. Or, sorry, over the season, my bad.
Oh, no problem. And let's stay on the wide receiver side for a moment. Chris Godwin and Julio Jones have been hampered by injuries for much of the year. They came in and they had some contributions to this game. Mike Evans got hot really late in the contest. Just give me your thoughts on Mike, Chris, and Julio's play against the Rams.
Yeah, so, I mean, you hit the nail on the head when it comes to Chris and Julio's health. Injuries are obviously affecting them. I mean, we saw Julio just slip on that route late in the game, and it looked like he hyperextended something or, you know, just hurt himself on that play. And then I was rewatching the game this morning, and I noticed right off the bat, Godwin just does not look like himself coming out of his breaks, even out of his release off the line. He's obviously still recovering from that ACL, and who knows how much that hamstring is still affecting him from, you know, the Dallas game at the start of the year. Mike Evans, he's still Mike Evans, and he's been healthy this year. You know, obviously, it seems like every single game he gets banged up, comes out for about 2 or 3 plays, and comes back in. You know, he's one of the toughest guys out there. But he's just, something's off with him mentally. You know, I've watched him since he came into the NFL, and this is by far, in a way, his worst season as a pro. And I'm not just talking about numbers. I'm not talking about, you know, just I'm talking about he's just dropping these passes. I mean, granted, he's dropped passes before in the past, but he's dropping balls he should be catching. I mean, just go back and look, you know, at the Carolina drop a few weeks ago. And I don't know what it is with him, but, you know, you hope maybe this past week will spark him and get him right back on track. But then again, you know, after the Carolina game, he had that, you know, really worrisome comment about how the lights just went out whenever he dropped that pass. That's not something you hear from Mike Evans a lot. So I don't know if just the season's troubles are taking that kind of toll on him. It doesn't seem like that because he's always been one of the toughest dudes on the team. But I'm really, really interested to see, you know, what these next or last 8 games look like in terms of his production, because, you know, obviously the ability's still there. You don't really see anything on tape that's holding him back in terms of slowing down or dropping off. But, you know, he's just not all there right now. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him the rest of the year. But, you know, if Julio and Godwin, if they can just stay healthy and, you know, try to maintain their health, or sorry, keep trying to build their health as the season goes on, which sounds kind of counterintuitive considering this is the game of the NFL, players usually don't get healthier as the season goes on. It's just kind of how it goes. You know, they should be okay too. But yeah, Mike Evans, man, I'm definitely not going to put him under the microscope, you know, because that usually has a negative connotation. But I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on him these last eight games and to see, you know, just what he looks like in a general sense.
You're right about that. Mike definitely is going to have to get back on his A game because it seems very worrisome, as you said, especially missing that easy pass in the game against Carolina. We got to pay attention to that. And you mentioned about being worried about Mike. I've been worried about the running game for Tampa this year. Leonard Fournette, he doesn't look like playoff Lenny right now. Give me your thoughts on Leonard and his play against the Rams.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, obviously the Bucs' running game is just horrendous, and a lot of that is because Leonard Fournette isn't playing very well. I mean, Tony Romo pointed it out yesterday during the broadcast how he missed the cutback lane on one of the Bucs' running plays, and that's been a problem all year long. He's not hitting holes properly. He's going side to side too much. You know, he's just not that aggressive, decisive runner we saw in the playoffs and even last year. I mean, last year he would – you know, as soon as he saw daylight, he would go. He's always danced kind of in the backfield a little bit, but nothing like he has this year. And yesterday, too, the report came out that during the game that he was complaining when Rashad White was in the game getting touches, and that kind of harkens back to 2020 when Bruce Arians had to sit him down and tell him to get his head on straight or else he's going to be off the team. You know, you got to wonder again, are the season troubles weighing on him? You know, how much is that affecting him? But at the same time, until yesterday when the Bucs put in Nick Leverett at left guard, this running game has struggled because the offense just can't get a push or the offensive line just can't get a push. So it's a lot of factors that go into the Buccaneers' run game and why it hasn't worked. But Leonard Fournette is definitely part of the problem, you know, and even in pass protection. I mean, even in the receiving game, we saw him with a real bad drop yesterday. And then in pass protection against the Ravens, I believe it was. It was either the Ravens or the Panthers. But, you know, Buccaneers left guard totally let a free rusher through. Lenny just literally sidestepped and let the guy keep running instead of trying to block. And it wasn't Lenny leaking out to get a pass. It was Lenny literally sidestepping the guy. And obviously, whenever Tom Brady's your quarterback, you don't want that to happen ever. So, yeah, again, it's, you know, it's one of those mental things, you know, just where is his head at mentally? Will this win, you know, get him to correct course moving forward? I don't know, but definitely another guy to watch. And, you know, and Rashad White, based off how the Bucs want to use him, who knows if he starts cutting into work. But, you know, if Leonard keeps complaining like he did yesterday, which that's documented, it's true, it actually happened, you know, then this coaching staff just needs to get him off the field just in general, because you can't have that, especially in a trying season. Everybody needs to be on the same page. Everybody needs to be working together, and nobody needs to be selfish in this situation. So, you know, if more comes from that, then hopefully this coaching staff will be smart about how they utilize him moving forward. But obviously we'll wait and see on how all that goes.
You're absolutely right. That could definitely have a mental and an emotional impact on the team. I mean, Tampa, they've been through it already, and we still have a lot of season left in the NFL. I want to move along now quickly to the defensive side. Keanu Neal was the leading tackler with 6 tackles. Also, Vita Vea, Raheem Nunez-Rochez, and Jannard Avery came up big with sacks. Give me your thoughts on their performance in the game.
Did you know headlights dim over time? You can lose up to 50 feet of visibility before burnout. Stop in to replace yours at Advance Auto Parts, your dependable source for auto lighting today. Snag a new pair of Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Bulbs and brighten up those darker fall and winter nights. Switch today, see better tonight. And don't forget to replace your wiper blades and change your oil to ensure you're prepared to hit the road. Only at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
This is how we advance.
Yeah, this is what we've been expecting to see from Vita Vea all year. I mean, he's flashed here and there, but he has not put together a consistent 4-quarter performance like he did yesterday. Jannard Avery was a really good surprise coming off the edge with that sack. You know, he's obviously the replacement for Shaquille Barrett since the Buccaneers didn't make a move at the deadline. You can also throw, you know, Anthony Nelson in there as well, but it looks like Jannard Avery is getting most of that work outside of, you know, Shaq's absence. And then Raheem Nunez Rochez, Nacho, I mean, yesterday was his first sack as a Buck. And as you can imagine, he was completely ecstatic to have it. The post-game videos and stuff like that were just hilarious with him. And he's like one of the biggest trash talkers, one of the most animated guys on the team. So anything involving him is always going to be fun. But when it's him, you know, balling out like he did and really having a good time, then the dude just takes it to a whole nother level. So that was good to see. You know, overall, the Buccaneers defense did exactly what it was supposed to do against a really, really bad Rams offensive line. And it was good to see because, you know, the Rams offensive line was obviously better last year. It was better in 2020. But still, the Buccaneers as a whole, their front seven, they should have had a lot more success than they had in the past, and they didn't. You know, the Rams' offensive line has just dominated them the last three or four meetings leading up until this game. So it was good to see them go out there, do what they were supposed to do, and, you know, hopefully they can keep it going next week against the Seahawks.
I want to talk now about head coach Todd Bowles briefly. You mentioned Bruce Arians and the situation that happened with Leonard Fournette, and Bruce was not afraid to not only bark at him occasionally, but bark at some of his players as well. Todd Bowles, you know, we know about his previous head coaching stint, Evan. What do you think has been the biggest difference so far between the Bowles era and the Arians era?
In terms of on-field production or in terms of just how they manage the team, just to make sure I got you clear?
Everything. Just everything.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot, man. To start with personalities, as you said, B.A., you know, he took no B.S. You know, he called out Tom Brady in press conferences. You know, he had no problem telling you how it is, you know, what he thought, and he had no problem saying it publicly as well, which, you know, a lot of people, they can disagree with that method, and it does rub players the wrong way. But I think if you have the leadership in place like the Buccaneers had over the last 2 years when it came to JPP and Dominican Sue, Brady, you know, Mike Evans, and then Arians, that was allowed, and it should be allowed. I mean, honestly, you know, obviously you don't want to go too far in the public eye when it comes to criticism or constructive criticism, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, if people are watching you and they have questions about your performance, but they can't be confirmed because they're not in the huddle, they're not in the meeting rooms, they don't know what the play is that was called, you know, it not only does it invite a whole lot more speculation into the matter, but if Arians were to come out and shut it down like he did publicly, it kind of puts a lot of that to rest. You know what I'm saying? Now, it might steer the conversation, or sorry, it might narrow the conversation a lot more. You know, like let's just say Tom Brady throws a pick, and it looked like Evans ran the wrong route. Well, if Arians comes out and says, well, Evans ran the right route, but Brady just didn't throw it correctly or misread it, whatever, then that shifts the focus off of Evans and on the Brady, you know, rightfully so, if that's really what happened. And that can ignite a fire under these guys, you know, to know that, hey, people are watching me now, my coach is going to call me out if I mess up again. You know, that can really light a fire, and that can really set the tone for a culture. And if you've got players like JPP and Dominican Sue, like Tom Brady, who will hold those guys accountable and say, yeah, Bruce is right, you need to step it up, then that can really keep the ship, you know, steering in the right direction no matter what happens. I think there's a lot of that is missing this year under Todd Bowles. He does not – I mean, last week was a perfect case in point. Devin White was loafing on several plays during the Ravens game, especially the one play in particular where, you know, he had three of his teammates outrun him that were farther away from the ball as he just lightly jogged. And Todd didn't really say anything. You know, he said he thinks Devin's been playing well all year, and yeah, he might have been loafing on one or two plays, but what players don't do that in their NFL career? Which he's got a point, but if you go and watch the play, like I said, three other teammates were further away from the ball and they still outran Devin White to the ball. He was definitely loafing. So, you know, I mean, Todd Bowles is he's cool, he's calm, he's collective, you know, he's sarcastic, he's got those jokes. But I do think that since this team is missing leaders like JPP and Dominican Sue, and they're still searching for that identity, you know, I do think that there is a spark or a fire missing from the squad, and that can also extend to not having Ryan Jensen, who we all know is one of the most, you know, vocal, one of the most polarizing players on the field when it comes to how he fires his own squad up and, you know, makes the opposing team mad. There's just a lot of leadership and a lot of missing pieces. And while I think Todd Bowles is a leader, and I think he's a good leader too, I just don't think that's in his personality to start those fires and really rile guys up. I think he relies on the players to do that. And right now, like I said, outside of Brady, there really aren't that many players who are going to fire guys. Devin White's one of them, but, you know, he's kind of taken a step back the last few weeks in terms of, you know, just how he approaches everything. So in terms of philosophy, how they approach the situations that, you know, the team gets in, there's definitely a big contrast. But also at the same time, you can chalk it up to everybody still feeling each other out and finding their way. And, you know, maybe that finally happened on Sunday. But there's definitely a lack of a fire this year. That's for sure.
Speaking of lack of, real quickly, Tom Brady, TB12, we know about the 11 days that he was away, the personal issues. We're not going to delve into that, but the win over the Rams, Evan, in your opinion, do you think this could be the game where the tide has turned and Tom can finally get it going and kind of move forward and get the Bucs where they need to be and get over 500 in the NFC South?
Oh, for sure. This could easily be a spark. I mean, if you just go back and watch Tom Brady's press conferences from the last 3 or 4 weeks and then juxtapose that with yesterday's press conference, I mean, he looks like a completely new guy. I mean, he had a spring in his step walking up to the podium. You know, he had that great one-liner. You know, I won't repeat it, obviously, but dropped the F-bomb saying, you know, this was awesome. And it was just a completely different Tom Brady than what we've seen, you know, through the last month or so of this season. And, yeah, you know, you hate to wonder, but, you know, he finalized his divorce after the Ravens game. Maybe he finally got that hurdle out of the way. And granted, you know, and as a married man, I can only imagine what that's like, and I don't want to touch it either, and I haven't touched it. But it's fair to wonder, you know, if maybe that got out of the way and it'll open the door. But in terms of strictly speaking football, absolutely. This win, especially since it was over the Rams, you know, a team that the Buccaneers have struggled with under Tom Brady, or struggled against, rather, under Tom Brady, it could definitely be a spark for the rest of the season. And I'm hoping it is, because, you know, you don't want to see this guy go out that way. And there's a lot of these Bucs players that are probably not going to be on this team next year, considering their contract status and the Bucs cap status and everything like that. So, you know, you want these guys to go out on the right message and just not in this, like, total just tailspin of a plane wreck or train wreck, whatever, you know, vehicle wreck you want to use. You know, you want to see that happen. But, yeah, this win can definitely spark things. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here.
All right, Evan, quickly, the Bucs' next game is going to be a part of the NFL International Series, and it's going to be the NFL's first game in Germany, in Munich, Germany, to be exact, the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle has been hot. Geno Smith is a candidate for comeback player of the year. They're even talking about possibly being an MVP candidate. What are the keys to victory for the Bucs to beat Seattle on the offensive and the defensive side?
They're going to have to get explosive plays going. Tampa Bay is. They can't live in third downs like they did this last week. You know, as I mentioned, more third down attempts than first downs. They're going to have to get the explosive games or explosive plays going. That's going to be tough. The Seattle defense, as good as Geno Smith and the offense has been, this defense has come to life over these last 3 to 4 weeks. The Seattle defense, it's been lights out. It's just shut down opponents. So the Bucs are going to have explosive plays, because if they don't, the Seahawks are just going to drive the ball down the field, down their throats with methodical drives, and they can hit explosive plays on their own. But I think they had back-to-back 12-yard scoring drives against the Cardinals yesterday, which just completely took the Cardinals out of the rest of the game. I think it was 17-14 or something like that. And like I said, they had – or maybe 14-10. Regardless, they had two, you know, just long drives that completely gassed the Cardinals' defense and left them hanging wide open. So, you know, you flip it around to what the Bucs need to do on defense. If they can't get the offense, you know, the explosive plays going, you know, even a couple of, you know, sustained long drives, then this defense is not going to be able to stop the running game. I'm sorry, but, you know, the Bucs played really well yesterday against the run. That's not going to happen against the Seahawks. Offensive line that's much better than the Rams. It's a much better run scheme, as crazy as that sounds, you know, comparing Pete Carroll to Sean McVay. So if the offense can't get it done on their side with explosive plays, this defense is not going to be able to stop the run. And honestly, that's what this defense needs to do, as archaic and as 19, you know, 80s football as that sounds. If this defense can't stop Seattle's running game and Kenneth Walker next week or on Sunday, then, you know, it's lights out.
All right. And then a lighthearted question before I let you go, Evan. Whenever you get an opportunity to go to Buccaneers games, what are some of the foods that you enjoy eating?
Oh, man. So, like, the best press box food I've ever had was in Atlanta. But going to, like, they have, like, veal parmesan and, like, all of this crazy spray, like, brisket and everything like that. But Tampa Bay, the best food I've had down there is they actually had Gator Bites 1 year whenever I went down there. And, you know, it was your standard Gator Bites, Hush Puppies, French fries and stuff like that. So that definitely reigns supreme in my mind.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He's Evan Winter, managing editor for A to Z Sports. Evan, thanks again. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media and any websites. Let them know that as well.
Yeah, so you find me on Twitter at Evan_Winter, A2Z, and that's spelled out T-O, now it's number two. And you can find all my work on A2ZSports.com.
You heard it from him. He's Evan Winter from A to Z Sports. Evan, again, thank you so much, my man. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm down to come on anytime, so I'm sure we'll definitely talk soon in the future.
Absolutely. We'll be back with more right after this.
He's not going to start
now. You're
not
running the ball right
here.
You're
not here. Although, got Fournette right next to Brady's right hip.
You've got three plays. If you throw them quickly, don't want to try and scramble around or anything. Just throw it away if it's not there right away.
Here's the snap to Brady. Fakes to Fournette. He throws. It's caught. It's in for the touchdown. Incredible. Tampa Bay takes it 60 yards. And the fourth quarter woes continue for the Rams. It's going to be a 10-0 fourth quarter after the extra point. And Kendrick getting picked on that drive. And though even Ramsey switched over and got picked on twice. But what a play call.
Cade Otton, the first touchdown by a tight end this year at Tampa Bay.
You're exactly right. You missed that Gronk guy. But how different did that offense look on that drive?
Everyone deserves to be connected. That's why Cox offers a range of high-speed internet plans that fit any budget. Stream, chat, and stay connected at an incredible price. It's fast, reliable internet for everyone. You're probably thinking, wait, what? But yeah, it's true. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
All of a sudden,
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
64% of Americans can't cover a surprise $400 emergency cost. If you're looking for a way to save and invest, all you need is Acorns and your spare change. On average, Acorns users invest $160 in 4 months from just their spare change. Plans start at $3 a month with no hidden fees ever. To sign up and view disclosures, visit acorns.com/audio.
Investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. Investment advisory services offered by Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
MFS Investment Management. Our active 360 approach to fixed income goes beyond analyzing financials. We combine active security selection and risk management, striving to make the most of complex bond markets. MFS.com/active360. MFS Investment Management. Our active 360 approach to fixed income goes beyond analyzing financials. We combine active security selection and risk management, striving to make the most of complex bond markets. MFS.com/active360.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumboCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Evan Winter, managing editor for A to Z Sports, giving us great insights on what's currently going on with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and as they move forward with their season. All right, let's get right to it. Here's Week 10's most important games in the National Football League. Thursday night football between the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. The game will be played in Charlotte, North Carolina, at Bank of America Stadium. As far as the Falcons are concerned, Falcons lost a tough game to the Los Angeles Chargers in Atlanta last week. Of course, Marcus Mariota has been a surprise this year. A lot of people did not expect him to play this well. He's been doing it both running and throwing the ball, being, you know, Marcus has been a dual threat quarterback for quite some time, starting his career Titans and then, of course, having a season with the Las Vegas Raiders. Cordarrelle Patterson, of course, he's really the engine that runs offensively for the Atlanta Falcons. And you have Kyle Pitts and then Drake London and, of course, Olamide Zaccheaus, who is one of the wide receivers. As for the Carolina Panthers, it has been one heck of a year. They lost big time to the Cincinnati Bengals. They didn't just get beat. They got crushed. P.J. Walker threw two interceptions in the game, was benched. Baker Mayfield finished the game for the Panthers at the quarterback position. It appears that Baker Mayfield most likely will be the starting quarterback for the Thursday night matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. I mentioned earlier in the program that the NFC South has been a dumpster fire for much of the year. Tampa Bay currently below 500. New Orleans is not playing well. Atlanta is below 500, but they've lost a lot of close games this year. And then you got Carolina that's on their way to a top five draft pick. So in the NFC South, it's really still wide open. It's like open like the Wild Wild West in the NFC South. You've got the Atlanta Falcons going up against the Carolina Panthers Thursday night football. Next most important game that we have, international series. For the first time ever, the NFL will play a regular season game in Germany, in Munich, Germany, between the Seattle Seahawks and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. First for Tampa Bay, as you heard in the interview in the last segment with Evan Winter from A to Z Sports. The Bucs needed that victory. Tom Brady engineered a game-winning drive, throwing the game-winning touchdown pass to tight end Cade Otton. The defense showed up big for the Buccaneers as they beat the Rams last week. The Bucs still have their issues. It seems that Tom is trying to get back to his old self again. The personal issues are kind of behind them, so maybe this is the game where the win against the Rams would jumpstart their season and get them going to try to make that run and possibly win the NFC South and finish above 500. So while the Bucs are trying to get back on track, Seattle hasn't gotten off track. Seattle's played extremely well. Geno Smith is definitely a candidate for this year's comeback player of the year and also a candidate for the league MVP. Geno's been effective. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf have played great. How about Noah Fant? Noah's played well since coming over to Seattle in the trade from the trade with Denver, of course, sending Russell Wilson to the Broncos. And just say the Seahawks, well, I can't say let's ride for the Seahawks, but we could say the Seahawks are saying let's fly right now, flying not just over the Pacific Northwest, but they're flying high over much of the NFL right now. Defensively, Seattle's been solid. Seattle had a big win over their NFC West rival Arizona Cardinals last week. So Seahawks and Buccaneers, first time the NFL in Germany, should be an exciting atmosphere between the Seahawks and the Buccaneers. Next most important game that I picked was the Cleveland Browns going up against the Miami Dolphins. First for Cleveland, they had a bye week last week, giving them an opportunity to enjoy their week off. The week before, on Halloween night, they dismantled Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday night, which was Halloween night in Cleveland. Bengals and the Browns, it was in the Battle of Ohio. Cleveland would win that game 32-13. So while Cleveland enjoyed their bye week, Miami had an impressive victory over the Chicago Bears, which was surprisingly in an exciting game between Miami and Chicago. Tua Tagovailoa, he's been hot right now. He's definitely been playing. His concussion, that devastating injury that happened just a month ago from Thursday Night Football. As for Miami, Jalen Waddle has played well. Also, Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, people said that Tyreek's numbers would drop after leaving Patrick Mahomes and leaving Kansas City. Well, his numbers have increased. He's looking like Tyreek Hill of the old, looking like Cheetah of the old. So we've got the Browns going up against the Dolphins. Of course, Miami will see what their new defense is going to look like with Bradley Chubb being the newest member of that Dolphin defense. Of course, Jeff Wilson on the running side, him and Raheem Mostert, it's a reunion for those two after playing some seasons in San Francisco. So it's going to be a good one down in Miami between the Cleveland Browns and the Miami Dolphins. Next game that we have is the Minnesota Vikings going up against the Buffalo Bills. First for Buffalo, latest news coming out of Western New York that Josh Allen, their MVP caliber quarterback, is going to be day-to-day with an elbow injury with a UCL, which is a ligament in his throwing elbow. So they're going to monitor him day-to-day. Coach Sean McDermott just said what I just said. It's a UCL injury, carrying him day-to-day, and he didn't give any more details about it. So I guess despite with Allen having the injury, they're going to prepare as normal. So Buffalo, I know they're licking their chops and they want this victory because, after all, Buffalo, they lost a tough one to the New York Jets last week, and I know they want to extract revenge. But Minnesota, man, the Vikings close victory over the Washington Commanders in the Washington, D.C. area last week. Kirk Cousins is playing very strong right now. Dalvin Cook has been good. Of course, Justin Jefferson, one of the premier receivers in the league, and Minnesota's defense has played well as of late, especially last week against the Commanders. This is going to be an interesting game, whether Josh Allen is in or not. Most likely, I think Josh is going to play in this game. So Minnesota and Buffalo is going to be a great one out in Western New York, or Orchard Park, New York, to be exact. Next game that we have is the Arizona Cardinals squaring off against the Los Angeles Rams. This is an NFC West rivalry game. Let's start off with the Cardinals for a moment. Cards lost a tough one last week to the other division rival. That's the Seattle Seahawks. Kyler Murray got to get it together because time is running out for him to try to make a run in the NFC West. Seattle's currently the top dog right now, but the Rams, they're trying to get their situation together. The 49ers are trying to get their situation together as well. The Cardinals better get it together because there's going to be a lot of questions in the offseason. There's already a lot of questions because Kyler got the contract extension before the season started. So they got to get it going and expect to see a lot of DeAndre Hopkins, a lot of Robbie Anderson in this game. As for the Rams, they lost a tough one last week to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know what's gone wrong with Matthew Stafford this year. It's always been a curse when you win the Super Bowl the previous year. Super Bowl champions, you go from being the hunter to the hunted. And it seems as though since the Rams have become the hunted this year, they just haven't had their A game this year. I know they lost a huge part of their offensive line. Andrew Whitworth retired. Also, there were some key players that left due to free agency. No Odell Beckham Jr. Vaughn Miller is gone. He is with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, a bright spot on this Rams defense, of course, has been Aaron Donald, Bobby Wagner, and of course with Jalen Ramsey. But Cardinals and Rams, this is going to be an important game for both teams. They've got to get it done because we're now entering the regular season. Big one between the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. First for Dallas, the week before they enjoyed a big win over the Chicago Bears. And let's just say that this bye week, the bye week last week came at a big moment, a critical time for Dallas in the offseason. Because remember, Dak is still trying to come back from that injury that he had. He seems to be on the mend. He seems that he's gotten comfortable again. The running game's been solid with the combination of Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. And then on the defensive side, man, Micah Parsons. What can you say about Micah? He has just been a tackling sacking machine for the boys. And they're going to take that momentum up to Green Bay, for Cowboys and the Packers. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Green Bay is on a five-game losing streak, and they're not playing well right now. I don't know what's going to take. I think this could be the game where Aaron Rodgers and the Packers turned around, because they've been met with a lot of injuries all season long. The offensive line, they've played musical chairs. It just hasn't been good. But we know Aaron loves playing the Cowboys, and we know the Cowboys, the history behind the Cowboys and the Packers, that rivalry has been intense for so long. And this is going to be a good game at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, between Dallas and Green Bay. The Sunday night matchup is going to be the Battle of California, the Los Angeles Chargers versus the San Francisco 49ers. First for the Chargers, big win over the Atlanta Falcons down in the ATL last week. Justin Herbert seems to be good getting back to Justin Herbert, doing what he does best, being accurate and his arm strength and also with the athletic ability. Chargers defense has been effective, so was effective last week against the Falcons, and definitely they're going to have to be effective against a tough team like the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers had a bye week last week. The week before that, they beat the Los Angeles Rams impressively. So Jimmy Garoppolo doing what he does best, not turning the ball over too much. Christian McCaffrey has really been 49ers, and Deebo Samuel is expected to be back for this game. And then you've got George Kittle doing what George Kittle does best, and the 49ers just playing solid defense. The 49ers have been hampered by injuries, but it's a Sunday night game in the Bay Area. Chargers and 49ers is going to be a good one. And on Monday Night Football, we have the Washington Commanders going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. First for the Commanders, tough loss last week to the Minnesota Vikings. A lot of mental mistakes, a lot of crazy mistakes that happened towards the end of the game allowed Kirk Cousins and the Vikings to win that game. As for the Philadelphia Eagles, they remain the only undefeated team in the National Football League. They beat the Houston Texans on Thursday Night Football last week. So the Eagles return home to Philly for this Monday night NFC East rivalry game with the Commanders and the Eagles. You know the history of these two teams, these two cities. Washington and Philadelphia is going to be good, and Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are expected to bring it on Monday night for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Dallas Cowboys versus the Green Bay Packers. When you think of Dallas and Green Bay, you think of two organizations, two franchises, two very proud franchises that have had their share of Hall of Famers and marquee players, and a lot of great important games that have come out of this rivalry. Perfect example, the Ice Bowl, the 1967 NFC Championship game, Bart Starr, Don Meredith, Jerry Kramer, just to name a few. And, of course, as recent as the Dez Bryant game, the wild card playoff game, Packers and Cowboys at Lambeau Field. Was it a catch or wasn't a catch? Did Dez catch the ball? Looked like a catch, but officials said it wasn't a catch. And we've seen so many great moments from these two teams in this rivalry that it's been a phenomenal rivalry from start to finish. And the rivalry is going to continue. Great game coming up at Lambeau Field. So for the Dallas Cowboys, you've got Dak Prescott, you've got Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard, of course you've got Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, just to name a few. And you've got Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, the reigning back-to-back league MVP. What can you say about him? I mean, a guy that's just been so great at what he's done, but having his struggles this year. And certainly, you know about Green Bay, their running game, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, they've been a great combo. They've been a great 1-2 punch this year for for the Packers in terms of the running game. They've had a lot of injuries on the defensive side and on the offensive line. But I think what it all boils down to is going to be between the play of the quarterback, between Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers. It's all going to come down to who is going to make that mistake at the last second or in the last 2 minutes of the contest. I think this is going to be the game where Dak is going to show that he is healthy and he is ready to make things happen. As for Green Bay, this is a game where Aaron Rodgers is committed to the cause. Aaron Rodgers is going to be making sure that I'm not done yet. Even with the receiving core that I have, it's not the best, but we're going to make this thing work. And this is going to be a critical game, not just for the quarterbacks, but a critical game for both franchises going forward. The Dallas Cowboys versus the Green Bay Packers, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I want to give you my picks on who I think will win the most important games for Week 10 in the NFL. Thursday night football, the Atlanta Falcons versus the Carolina Panthers. I like Atlanta to win. The Seattle Seahawks versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFL series in Munich, Germany. I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win. The Cleveland Browns going up against the Miami Dolphins. I like Miami to continue their winning ways. The Minnesota Vikings going up against the Buffalo Bills. I like Buffalo to win that game. The Arizona Cardinals versus the Los Angeles Rams. I like the LA Rams to win. My game of the week, the Dallas Cowboys versus the Green Bay Packers. It's going to be a very close game, but I like the Dallas Cowboys to win at Lambeau Field. The Sunday night matchup, the Los Angeles Chargers versus the San Francisco 49ers. I like the 49ers to win that game. And on Monday night, the Washington Commanders versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Fly, fly, Eagles, fly. They will remain undefeated. I like Philadelphia to win. So my winners for Week 10's most important games are Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Miami, Buffalo, LA Rams, Dallas, and there you have it. That's going to do it for another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, a big special thank you to Evan Winter, managing editor for A to Z Sports, giving us the current lowdown on what's currently going on with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound.